AutoLine Daily is brought to you by BorgWarner. Feel good about driving. Bridgestone. Your journey. Our passion. And by Dow Automotive Systems. Improving durability and increasing design flexibility with Betamate structural adhesives at DowBetamate.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new AutoLine Daily. I'm Sean McElroy filling in for John while he's out driving Chevy's new Suburban and Tahoe SUVs. But now let's look at today's top stories. Earlier this week, Tesla's stock jumped because it plans to build new, low-cost lithium-ion batteries, which would allow the company to enter the electric grid storage market. And now we have more details about Tesla's plans. The company, along with other partners, is planning a $5 billion investment to build the world's largest battery plant called the Gigafactory. It's looking at locations in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and Nevada. By 2020, the company says the Gigafactory will build more lithium-ion batteries than were produced worldwide in 2013, and the per kilowatt-hour cost of the battery pack will be reduced by 30%. As we mentioned, this would allow Tesla to become a power storage company, which is why investors are so bullish on the company. Last week, the UAW filed an appeal with the National Labor Relations Board over the results in the vote to unionize Volkswagen's plant in Tennessee. Now the Detroit News reports that a few VW workers have filed their own challenge with the NLRB to fight the UAW's appeal. The workers want the right to defend the result and also claim that the UAW and VW are colluding to unionize the plant. Who knows what the NLRB will decide, but one thing we do know is that this fight is not close from being over. Volvo is showing off the third vehicle in its series of concept cars called the Concept Estate. Many of its styling cues, which show where Volvo design is headed, are carried over from the Concept Coupe and the Concept XC Coupe that came before it. But this time, the automaker is showing where its interiors are headed as well. The Estate features a large touchscreen as its control panel that replaces all buttons and controls except for a few key functions. The driver also gets a digital instrument cluster. Look for the Concept Estate to make its debut at the Geneva Motor Show. And speaking of Geneva, Mini just revealed the Clubman concept before it makes its official debut at the show. It's longer and wider than the current model, giving the car more interior space. Plus, it features a refreshed design for both the exterior and interior. The company didn't reveal any powertrain info, but we expect more to come out once the Clubman concept debuts next month in Geneva. The convertible version of Ford's Mustang accounts for over 18% of total sales, so there was no question that the 2015 Mustang would get a version as well. But still, improvements could be made. The new one adds another bow to the frame, not only to make it stronger, but also so that designers could better match the fastback look. In order to help hide the bows in the roof, increase insulation, and decrease sound, padding was added. It also goes down about 50% faster in about 7 to 10 seconds, thanks to switching from an electro-hydraulic to fully electric motors. With the top down, it now sits more flush with the back seats and top of the rear deck lid, even though it had to fit into a tighter space, and trunk space was increased by 19%. Tomorrow, we'll look at how Ford shaved 3% of drag off the new Mustang. And speaking of convertibles, coming up next, a look at some of the styling cues on the new Corvette convertible.
Dow Automotive Systems, driving solutions in automotive, commercial transportation, and aftermarket with innovative products like Betamate structural adhesives. Lighter, stronger, safer. DowBetamate.com.
Except for the roof, you might not notice a whole lot of difference between the hardtop version of the Corvette and the convertible model. But there are some styling elements that distinguish the cars. That's why we asked Tom Peters, the director of exterior design of the new Corvette, to highlight what's different.
From day one, the Corvette has been a convertible. So we joined those in terms of our development process, so they're done exactly at the same time. And I will tell you, the convertible version of a Corvette, which inherently has been the way it, from day one, has been its foundation. The The 2014 Stingray is no different. So in doing so, there are certain things that we, again, working from a functional and a design aesthetic perspective, we approached the convertible very seriously. From looking at it from a distance, we wanted to make sure that the car was equally as beautiful with the top up as the top down. And that can be a challenge because there's a lot of different, obviously, materials involved. There's kinematic or moving mechanisms that have to transpire. So it's quite a complex problem. But it's a challenge the team was up for. And working closely with our vendor, one of the areas that we looked at very closely was the profile of the top. Very smooth. Actually, it is a number of millimeters, I would say 10 or so, approximate millimeters lower than the coupe, actually. But it has a very low profile. The car appears to look lower when it's standing. But the other things that we looked at, not only in terms of the beautiful profile, but how it's executed. The material is drawn tight. The corners are crisp, where it touches down to the deck. The seam is very, very well closely in tolerance to the sheet metal surface, which can be quite recognizable and distracting if it's not done correctly. One of the things that you'll notice on the convertible is it does not have the top intake vents on the upper quarter, which is unique, in this case, unique to the convertible. And that is because that mechanism is in the same area of real estate as the intakes were on the coupe. So we worked a different route coming from the bottom of the car to make sure that we didn't lose any efficiency and have it every bit as effective. Once the top is down, one of the elements that we felt was incredibly important, and we've done this, I would say, since day one when Corvette first came on the scene, 53, is a beautiful waterfall sculpted body form that takes the exterior of the car and brings it to the interior. I think that's part of the magic of a convertible. This relationship becomes kind of a inside flow into the outside statement, you know, aesthetic sculptural statement. You take the sculpture that translates back into the deck lid. A lot of energy, I will tell you. There's an area in the back where the sculpture transitions in a very sculpturally sophisticated way. And I like to say we probably spend as much time on that little area where these surfaces kind of go back and forth. I like to refer to them as putting in juice or a little bananas, or the way the reflections kind of switch back. We have a wonderful, wonderfully talented group of sculptors, both digital and manual or hands-on sculptors. I think that's what makes the difference between a wonderful car and something that is quite exceptional, is that you have this human artistry, this human interface with the clay that translates through all the entire process, comes out in these painted, compound material. You somehow get the magic of that. So take a look at that, the really interesting sculpture on the back. And that's what really contributes to a wonderful, convertible, exciting personality for the Corvette Stingray.
And just a reminder before we go, don't forget to join us tonight for Autoline After Hours, when our guest will be Elaine Bannon, the chief engineer on the new Lincoln Navigator. So if you have any questions about this full-size SUV or where it's headed in the future, this is your chance to find out. That's starting tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on our website, autoline.tv. But that's a wrap for today's show. Thanks for watching, and have a great day.